Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Great.
Good.
You?
Good. I'm better. I was, having some of that icky stuff for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I'm 100%, but a little bit better. A lot better.
Your voice sounds much better.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be able to keep it up in today's show.
Yes.
So that, you can hear me out there in radio land, or is it blog talk radio land?
Sure.
So, Catherine, before we go into our topic, do you want to just give a way or two people can connect with us? Or
right, yeah. You can connect with us. Excuse me. You can connect with us on Facebook. Search Dunamos Center Ministries, and Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. You can also go to... you can also find us on Twitter. Go to @YourDunamosLife. There's also email. Everybody can do email on their phones, and so it'd be just real easy. Stick this in. It's DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. And, if you like what you hear, share it. Email it. Or if you don't, email us and let us know. Give us your comments.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Questions?
So, Catherine, did you give the phone number?
Sorry. Not yet, I can.
Let's do it.
Our phone number where you can reach us is 719-231-7183.
Okay, so this is our show right before Christmas that week.
Yeah.
And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. And Happy New Year, too. And praise God that we even get to celebrate that we had a Savior come.
Right.
A lot of times I've heard Christians say, well, it's not about celebrating a baby, that Christianity is about the Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. Absolutely. But without the birth,
there
would be no
crucifixion.
Yeah. Or resurrection.
Yeah.
Or salvation. So I think it's okay. A lot of people, different people will talk about it in different ways. But I always am drawn back to Romans chapter 14. If I hear somebody say, oh, we shouldn't celebrate it this way or that way, or you shouldn't celebrate at all, which I've actually heard some Christians say. And
wow.
Yeah. And so in verse 5, I'm just, when I was a new Christian myself and trying to figure out what do you do with this whole Christmas Day thing and hearing different things from different Christians and, oh, you can only celebrate it this way or you shouldn't celebrate it at all or that sort of thing. I was reading in Romans, and then I'm always drawn back to verse 5 and 6 where it says, some judge one day to be better than another while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. So it really struck me that it's not about a day. It's not even about what we call a day.
Right.
And it's not about whether or not it's okay to celebrate it, because clearly it is.
Right. It seems like whatever you do, just do it under the Lord,
right.
However you celebrate or don't celebrate.
Right. And so then you hear things like, well, he wasn't even really born on December 25th. Well, true. But that's the day that culturally has been chosen to mark or celebrate his birth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us know the day anyway.
No.
There's no way to know the real day.
Well, it wasn't recorded for us in Scripture, so apparently it's not
right
that important.
No, probably not.
I mean, like you were saying a minute ago, the real importance is that he did come, and he came to for our salvation and for the resurrection. And
I mean, you could go to the historical records of when they did the census, and you could get about the season he was born in.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably the closest we could get.
Right.
Is, you know, that there are records of when the kings called for census and things like that. But I'm, again, of the mind that I don't think I want to argue over disputable matters, which is what I find that to be sometimes, very contentious.
Yeah.
And I don't want Jesus and us recognizing his birthday or Easter with his death and resurrection to be contentious. What is that? That's not the love.
Right. It doesn't profit us anything to debate that point.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, we wanted to talk about honoring Jesus in it as much as we can. But at the same time, Jesus also honored people.
Right.
And he told us to do everything he did.
Right. That's right. Yeah. When we were preparing for the show, Pauline, you were mentioning that, or reminding us that Jesus just hung out with people.
Yeah. He sort of liked dinner, people, believe it or not.
Yeah, he seemed to like dinner, too.
Yeah. Yes, he did quite frequently enjoy dinner, didn't he? And, you know, it's like I was thinking how he's hanging out with his friends, he's having dinner, they're probably having conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you hang out with your friends and you have dinner, you're like, hey, what are you up to? And I can see Jesus going, well, I'm up to the business of my father. Oh, yeah, really? Who's your father? Well, he's, you know, God. And just, you know, so then that would segue into some other things, just like we do
mm-hmm.
when we're hanging out with friends. You know, how's your job going? You know,
mm-hmm.
tell
mm-hmm.
me about it. And he was so interested in people, then he would ask them, well, how's your life going?
Right. Yeah.
And then he would say, here's what I can give you.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I think about, you know, some Christmases in the past that we've spent with family have felt so focused on the stuff.
Right.
You know, about what presents are we getting or what presents are we buying and giving or what presents, and it's just all about the presents. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, but I don't think that that's where our focus should be.
You know, and it's interesting because Jesus also accepted presents. Did you ever think about that?
Like the oil?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. lady, she broke the oil on his feet. It was a gift to him, and people criticized her for gift giving,
right?
Essentially, or spending too much money on gift giving.
Right.
And Jesus was like, whoa, you know, no, she's honoring me by giving a gift. And it would be easy to say, well, the gift was directly for Jesus. But at the same time, we're supposed to see the spirit of Christ in each other and to honor each other and gift each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, I also remember Christmases where, yes, we've opened presents, but it's been more about the companionship and the mm-hmm. fellowship together.
Right.
And sharing in each other's joys, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, they really wanted that gift and they got it. Yay, we're all excited for him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I find that I get so much pleasure out of being able to give and serve other people for Christmas. If I have an expectation for myself and what I'm going to get or give, then I'm always going to be disappointed. I mean,
yeah.
That's just really the truth. We always end up disappointed. But when I can, like, really bring joy to other people, bring a special meal to them, bring some gifting to them and some fun.
Yeah.
Then I enjoy the day so much better, and I feel so much like I've been Christ-like in it, if that makes sense. Even though people might say, but there's so much gifts, there's so much money, there's so much whatever. But I feel like I'm being Christ-like and sacrificing for other people.
Well, I mean, it's like when, this is probably a pretty common phrase, you know, like when you're a blessing to others, you feel blessed yourself.
Right.
And that sounds like how you're feeling is you're mm-hmm. receiving a blessing by
right.
being able to give to others.
Well, and I discovered years ago that the thing that annoyed me about Christmas and gift giving was the way that people received and opened presents and responded to them.
Yeah. The hustle and bustle or the...
Well, it seemed growing up there were two models. Of gift opening
between your two families, like,
well, just even if I was with friends or whatever,
friends.
They always seem to follow one of two patterns.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the first pattern is, let's pick up one present, we hand that present to the person that present goes to, and we all stop and we watch them and open the present, And we all get to go, ooh, ah. Now, I'm sorry. Maybe my mind is a little faster than that, but that bores me. I want them to enjoy their gift, but I can tell half the time they're faking it. Like, oh, thank you, Grandma, for another knitted sweater. You're so special, you know, or whatever. And you're just, you can just tell they're sort of faking it.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
Or they're doing it because they feel like they have to.
Yeah. Growing up, my family was that way. We would open one present at a time. It was combined family with, like, my cousins and aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And we would either usually go oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest. And when it was youngest to oldest, I was excited because I was practically the youngest. Yeah.
I know. And, you know, it's... But it took a long time, probably.
It absolutely did. And see, I think for me, that's where I found enjoyment in the fellowship. You know, mm-hmm. opening a present and then being able to share it with, you know, like my cousins around me while other people opened. We were still kind of paying attention to, you know.
Right, right.
But there was some fellowship in that rather than just probably the second model that you're thinking of.
Well, along that lines, I'm glad there was the fellowship piece because mm-hmm. a lot of times I've not seen that happen. It's just everybody has to stay in their chairs till everybody's done. You know, the present. And then we're not really talking to each other. We're not really enjoying each other. We're just watching the present unwrapping proceeding.
Oh.
Yikes.
Yeah, that wasn't quite what it was. We were probably more talkative.
The other model is the dive under the tree. Everybody dives at once and, you know, you're knocking heads and you're pushing each other away because you got to get at your present first. You got to find the ones. And, you know which ones you're going for because you've been studying the name tags for 2 weeks and you know where they're placed under the tree. And you maybe even went the night before and made your little stack in the corner that were yours.
Oh, my gosh. My children have done that.
Yeah. And then, bam, 5 minutes later, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody
mm-hmm.
goes, oh, okay, now what?
Yes, we've experienced that also after we got married. My kids would, like, we'd all be opening, and I'm paying attention to me or to the person next to me, and then my kids would come up and go, look what I got, and, oh, okay, great, where did that come from? Who gave it to you? Yeah, exactly, who gave it to you? Who thought of you to want to give you that? And it felt chaotic and disorganized, and I don't know, it was hard on my brain to do it that way.
Yeah, to stay with that. And I just felt almost a sense of abandonment at the end of that.
Yeah.
Because dinner's been eaten, presents are done. Okay, now we're all just going to go do our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then, okay, isn't there like 12 hours left on Christmas Day? I don't know.
What do we do
with the rest of that time?
Now it's 7:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what are we going to do?
I don't know if you went through this, but, you know, we've mentioned before that we were both raised Catholic.
Yeah.
And we had to do the midnight mass thing. Did you?
We did that a couple times, yeah. A lot of times we would go to an afternoon service, and then we'd go to my aunt and uncle's house and spend the evening there.
No, we did midnight mass even when I was 4 years old, I remember. Every year we'd have dinner, we went to bed early, we got up and went to midnight mass.
Oh, wow.
Came back and went to bed, and then got up and opened presents on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, I respect my parents for trying to keep an element of Christ in what we were doing in that 24-hour period.
Right.
But, it was kind of reverent to me in some ways, if you want to have a celebration of Christ in it. And I look back, and I always know that I've always had a heart for Jesus, even when I didn't understand it, this, that, or the other thing. So in that regard, I actually enjoyed that because it was, we're going to focus on Jesus before we focus on getting up and opening all our presents.
Right? That's true. That is true.
Mm-hmm. So I liked that piece. But to me, I sort of liked that celebrant piece, I guess, of being with the people and enjoying their company and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years back, let's see, I'm going to say over 10 now, I really sat down and thought, I just hate all that about Christmas. it's not fun for me.
You mean the diving under the tree?
The diving under the tree, or the taking forever, or the everybody goes to their own corners, or there's no really focusing on the people.
Yeah.
Which is what we wanted to talk about. There was no connecting with each other.
Right.
There's no enjoying each other, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk a little bit about how I resolved that, but we're just going to take a quick break.
Yes,
and
good.
Talk about the new book, which we've mentioned in the last few shows, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me?
Yeah.
I Am Happy I Have a Healthy Baby. It's the rest of it that sucked.
Yeah.
So it should
and that's in the printing process.
It's in
yes.
the printing, and it should be in our office by tomorrow if all's going well. We did have some glitches in the printing process that had to be fixed.
Yeah.
So what I want to let our listeners know, though, is the retail price on the book is $11.95.
Okay.
But between now and January 15th, if they go to put in a promo code of EARLYBIRDBTR for Blog Talk Radio,
okay,
they'll get it for $10.
Woohoo!
So I just wanted to mention that.
Excellent.
And let our listeners know that there is a special for the first month.
Excellent. I really hope, I encourage people to take advantage of that as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, and if you know somebody who has had a cesarean and was traumatized by it, or somebody, or you yourself has mm-hmm. had a cesarean and you've had trouble getting over it and walking through it, then you need to just get the book, and it'll help you because it's a very active book on, it'll give you understanding of why you're going through what you're going. It'll give you hope,
mm-hmm.
and it'll actually give you practical healing steps.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about it. If you've heard me speak, you know basics of the content,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're talking about, is how
yeah.
to heal.
This will pull it all together. Great. Good.
Okay, so that's our new book.
Okay.
So, you know, I was saying, Catherine, that I just really didn't enjoy Christmas.
Yeah.
So when I went to one church that didn't support celebrating Christmas, I have to say I actually felt relieved.
Yeah?
That so the pressure.
It touched
to try
something
to create,
in your heart. Huh?
Yeah. I was relieved because I didn't have to create the perfect decorations or make something magnificent out of Christmas or be the perfect Christmas hostess or anything.
Yeah.
So for a few years, I embraced the, you know, I did a little bit for my kids, but I didn't really do much. And I liked that.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it did relieve all this pressure.
That does sound nice.
But as you guys who are here at the Dunamaw Center know, you know I do decorate and celebrate Christmas now. Okay. So what I realized in that was it wasn't celebrating Christmas I didn't enjoy. It was the not having the space, the emotional space, the physical space, you know, in my little places I lived, and the space to really enjoy the company that I was with.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So when we moved to Colorado Springs, we finally had a house that was kind of bigger than our family. And we weren't bumping into each other every time we walked down a hallway or, you know, fighting over the one bathroom or anything like that. And God was very gracious to us with the house. And so most of you know I have a huge bay window in the front of my house.
Right.
And the first year we were there, I was like, I can see a really magnificent Christmas tree in this window. Not
yeah.
just for me, but for the neighborhood.
Yeah,
because it reflected it opened to the neighborhood.
And
we had a 12-foot Christmas tree. Yes, that's how high the ceilings are. We had a 12-foot Christmas tree in the window
wow.
the first year.
Yeah,
and I just enjoyed so much the idea of I have space to do something pretty that
mm-hmm.
other people will enjoy too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just me. It's not me and mine. I can share something with everybody.
Well, and it sounds like that was something that you were doing unto the Lord, like you were talking about earlier
yeah.
from Romans,
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't doing it or not doing it, but it was doing it for the glory of the Lord, you know, so that, like, your neighbor saw the
right. And, you know, the lady
beauty.
Across the street, I said something to her about, this is the first time I've had space to really put up a nice tree. And she said, and we're very grateful that you did, because we aren't able to put up a nice tree, and we're really enjoying it.
Oh,
I was like, wow, you know. So now it becomes Jesus cared about people, and he cared about them having good things in their life.
Yeah.
And if I want to serve my neighborhood, it sounds really silly, but my neighbors felt blessed by my big Christmas tree and my front bay window. And, you know, it made me feel really like, wow, there are ways that even things that some Christians would call pagan or this or that can be given to the Lord. Because in that chapter 13, 14, Jesus or Paul also talks about food that may have been dedicated to idols, but if you pray over it and you dedicate it to the Lord, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
So if we're doing this unto the Lord, then that's what matters.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's a Christmas tree or stockings set out for, quote, Santa.
Yeah.
You know.
Or, you know, just to let your kids have some fun.
It can be about enjoyment and enjoyment unto the Lord.
So first couple of years kind of, but we were still diving, the kids were still diving under the tree, and I was realizing I'm not liking that either. So I have a beautifully decorated house. And it really struck me, Catherine, what I had been doing in that early time. Last year, my daughter-in-law, who's been married to my son for 4 years now, and they had been together for about 4 years before that, and I didn't realize this had happened, and she looked at me and she said, Jacob said that when you decorate your house out completely, that it's really beautiful and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you mean I haven't done that since you've been in the picture?
Oh.
And she's like, no. And I'm like, oh, so, you know, I'm now trying to, you know, if we're going to have the full dinner at my house, get the whole thing out so that, you know, because she wants to enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I was over at their house, and you know how you decorate with young married when you're
especially when you have little children. Mm-hmm. You keep all the decorations up high so they don't get mud off the tree and eaten.
Yeah, and she's so great with the kids and wants to make it so fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like commenting that, I know not what this beautifully decorated house is. And I thought, wow, I really have gotten busy. So I've backed up again and tried to hit that as best as I can, because I want to bring joy to the people who come to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I decided I want us to spend time decorating, but I don't want to spend time everybody opens one present and then everybody goes ooh and ah. So it hit me, what if we made a game out of it? Now we're playing a game together. Now we're having family game night. You happen to get gifts with it.
Hey.
But it's a game. And I started really simple. The first thing I did was I found like a Christmas bingo game.
Oh.
And the first person who got a bingo could like go pick a box. But here was the kicker. I didn't have any names on the boxes.
Oh. Okay.
So they didn't know whose present they were picking. They had to sort of like try to figure it out. And they all had numbers, and I had a master list. And yeah.
So if they opened somebody else's gift?
They didn't open it. They just had to tell me the number.
Oh.
And then they had to give it to whoever it belonged to, and that person could open it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was very simple the first year. It's gotten a lot more elaborate since then. And now I include friends and stuff, because even if they're not getting a lot of gifts from us, like, you know, they might get one or two little things, but they get to participate in this entire gift game.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift game now includes opportunities for money, lottery tickets. So they walk away feeling like they got to fully participate in the gift giving and not just watch my kids open their, you know, 16,000 presents and they got a package of cookies or something. I don't know. But they get to fully participate. And so nobody cares who got more presents or how many presents they got or anything, because they got to participate. And they got treasures for it, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, and it brings it back to the fellowship, the community, the like we started with, you know, Jesus spent time with people. He had dinner with people. I don't know, maybe they had game night.
They might have, we don't know. You know, I don't know what the game would be, but they rolled dice and they, you know.
But the time together, the fellowship, you know, making the experience about the people and not just what the gift is, or
right at the end of it, I don't think anybody really fully cares what the gifts are. And you know, I'm gonna pull Sharon in because she's been to my Christmas Eve night. Would you say anybody cares about the gift?
No.
It could be anything.
Anything. Yeah, absolutely.
And because we just have fun. Last year, I did a treasure hunt. I actually hid all the gifts in my house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I took nursery rhymes, and I used lines from nursery rhymes as the clues.
Wow.
And the packages had, like I said, lottery ticket or money or something on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the person found the gift, they got to have what was on top of it, and then they would give it to the person the gift goes to.
Ah.
But, you know, they had to tell me the number so I could tell them who it goes to. But,
right.
And I have so much fun hostessing this, if that makes sense. I'm not running around looking for gifts, but I am having so much fun watching the people having fun.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And having prepared something that's just a blast.
Yeah. Last year, my husband and I did that for something similar.
Okay.
For the first time with just us and our kids. You know, for several years, we would go to his family's house or my family's house, and it would be big and chaotic. And last year, we stopped that. And so it was just he and I and the kids, and all the way up until Christmas, we were putting presents under the tree.
Yeah.
You know, and so by Christmas Eve, there was kind of a big pile. And then the kids went to bed. And after the kids went to bed, Jeff and I, we took all the presents out from under the tree and we hid them around the house.
Nice.
So when the kids got up in the morning, they came down to the tree and they're like, what happened? There are all the presents. Santa didn't leave presents.
Did
he
you
took
tell
them, all.
Them that you that Santa came and took them to the poor kids?
No.
That would have really got them.
Yeah.
See, I probably would have told them that at first.
I think they were wondering.
Yeah.
But we just made simple little clues that would give them, you know, an idea of where in the house to look for presents that we had hidden. And they still talk about it so far this year, you know, like, oh, I wonder if we're going to do the treasure, you know, the scavenger hunt again with our gifts. And
well, I'm going a little more elaborate this year.
Ooh.
And it is taking a little more work, but I'm excited to do it.
Yeah.
So this year I'm doing kind of a let's make a deal game.
Wow.
Okay. So there's envelopes on the packages,
mm-hmm.
and the person opens it, and it'll either have a zonk in it, so they may get zonked. It might have some money, it might have a lottery ticket, and it might have a let's make a deal card.
Mm.
If it has a let's make a deal card, then the person who picked the gift, and provided they're different people, the person who it goes to will get to do like deals for extra gifts.
Oh.
And I have I'm setting up all these like zonk gifts and good gifts and.
Did you put a rock in some?
Well, there's some interesting things. I don't want to tell anybody exactly what all's in there
in case
the people who are going to be there are listening. But there will be zonks and there will be good gifts and there will be medium and, you know. But, I mean, I'm having a blast. And, yes, it's taking work. I'll be honest. It takes me a little extra work.
Sure.
But to me, it's like I want to bless them. I want to give to them as we give to Jesus, as Jesus gives to us. And it's sacrificial in some ways,
mm-hmm.
Because all of you here in the room, which is everybody at the Dunamis Center right now,
mm-hmm.
you guys know how busy I can be. And so for me, this is an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to take a break from that.
Yes.
And even in the midst of it, I'm going to add a little bit more busyness to prep this.
Yeah.
And then I love cooking a really nice meal for everybody and then doing games. And it takes hours. Everybody plans for, they might come to my house at 5 and they're not going home till what, 9, 10, something along those lines.
But it's a blessing probably to everybody.
It is. Catherine, we need to wind up. And before we do, I just want to remind our listeners that we are donated supported.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to help us in 2016 to help families, to help marriages be less self-focused and more Christ-centered and heart-centered, or to help people have quality births so they don't need my new book.
Yeah.
I'd really rather people not even need it than to have to buy it because they've been damaged in childbirth.
Yeah.
You can go to that website, dunamiscenter.com, D-U-N-A-M-A-S. You can hit the donate button, and any amount will be used to really help the families in the church be more Christ-like.
That's right. We will be thankful, and we'll pray that it'll be multiplied.
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And thank you for listening.